Top of the second hour. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Monday, December 30th, 2019. So much awfulness, so little time. I said that I intend to sort of focus on good things. I think it's important to be aware of the bad things, not to become, target fixated and to induce or lend effort to the learned helplessness, rather just to raise awareness. I think there are a lot of things that people don't think about, even those who presume themselves to be aware. I mean, like I said, the media coverage that gaslights the possibility, you just don't hear it. Why is that? Well, it's the same reason that, for chapter 6 of James Lowen's Lies My Teacher Told Me. We have to have Hayek's Road to Serfdom, chapter 11, The End of Truth. We have to have just a continual narrative that makes history sound like it unfolds in predetermined fashion and only melodrama. And you can hear it when people talk to one another. They seem to prefer the melodrama rather than reality. It's just unbelievable. People talk about things and they when they talk about, shall we say, newsworthy events, which calls to mind Bernays' words quoted by Vance Packard in the Usual Persuaders, or The Hidden Persuaders, excuse me. Freudian slip, maybe. Anyway, newsworthy events do not happen by accident. They're planned to influence behavior and action. Anyway, it's just interesting. You don't hear certain things at all. That's gaslighting, and it's the kind of totalitarian propaganda Hayek talks about in chapter 11 of The Road to Serfdom. It is all-encompassing propaganda. It leaves nothing out. Anyway, and then there's the technocratic and cybernetic aspect of things. Before there was Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, there was Alvin Toffler's Future Shock. Maybe we should all read Part 6, Strategies for Survival, which opens with Chapter 17, Coping with Tomorrow. So, Toffler wrote Future Shock, among other awful things, and 40 years later, Jaron Lanier wrote You Are Not a Gadget. I wonder... I think I might. It's just fascinating, the things you see now. And, for that matter, 2002 it was. Francis Fukuyama, Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution. Again, Alvin Toffler, Future Shock. So speaking of Fukuyama, where to start? Power of style, I'm thinking of things like Larkin, Texas, reminding us of Jacques Ellul. And I always think of those words, as men, I think we're reminded, I don't know, maybe for ladies it's similar, but as we shave our faces, for example, I don't know about you guys, but I think of Jacques Ellul's words every time, because of the myth of progress. It is easier to sell a man an electric razor than a straight-edged one. And when you start thinking about it, when you understand technology, for example, it gets rebranded and repackaged in a variety of ways, but it's the same old stuff. Linux is still the same Unix revolution it was, 50 years ago? It's not new. And, there's a new JavaScript library now and then, or, now Node is a revolution that bridges the gap between back-end and front-end JavaScript, but not really. There's really nothing new about any of this stuff. And so you read Guys like Alvin Toffler, and you see how it's all, that's all a put-up job, and people just have no idea. Getting back to the same discussion, the same, you know, whether it's terrorism or whatever other, you know, go grab something by these guys, you know, Toffler, Herbert Marcuse, Michel Foucault. I mean, if you want to understand the pervasive influence of the social engineers and social engineering that has now taken on an entirely new and digital, more virulent iteration. Theodore Adorno, obviously, Herbert Marcuse, Toffler, Bertrand Russell, Michel Foucault, Immanuel Kant, Carl Jung, Nietzsche, guys like that. Or just skip all that and go find something that Anthony Sutton wrote. Richard Dawkins, you know, these guys. I mean, Bertrand Russell, you know, Bertrand Russell was a mentor for guys like, what's his name? I forget. The ultimate stoic. What the heck is his name? Oh, it's going to bother me. Anyway, those guys, Bertrand Russell, the old school generational bad guy, you know, who wrote things like Why I Am Not a Christian. Anyway. And that's going to bother me. Now I'm going to have to find out. For some reason, my brain is just not wanting to cooperate this morning. That seems to be a fairly regular occurrence these days. Maybe it's time for supplements. Maybe that's it. Just kidding. Speaking of that kind of stuff, Bertrand Russell, no. There was an article I saw this morning. This is actually, I think, you know, speaking of good news, I think we can call it that. In the Express, across the pond, weight loss, woman reveals two simple rules she used to drop 158 pounds. I was thinking yesterday, you know, I was going to do like an NFL Network opening this morning. Oh, whoops, wrong demographic. Well, you know, I'm still in that sort of, you know, an irascible bit of humor from last week talking about the Hallmark stuff. I'm still upset about that, and I still want to get back to that. It's so ridiculous. I mean, I think speaking of put-up jobs and Edward Bernays saying newsworthy events do not happen by accident, and he's quoted in 1957, and what is different today? I mean, if people are paying attention, I was thinking about it before this morning's broadcast. Every time there's an incident now, what, or an episode, as I'm calling them now, because, you know, Patrick Claussen, gosh, man, he tells us exactly how it is. They're episodes. Patrick Claussen. You know, how to build U.S. Israeli coordination on preventing an Iranian nuclear breakout. I frankly think that crisis initiation is tough. What? So anyway, the episodes, they're episodes. What is an episode? A separate incident, story, or action standing out by itself, but more or less connected with a complete series of events. Speaking of the FBI's terror factory. You know? No, it's just good foreign policy. I mean, that's just... it's good foreign policy. So... well, you know, I was speaking of the Christmas, the Hallmark stuff, just briefly on that before I get back to this other stuff. I realize I'm bouncing around, but you know, it's all the same nonsense and it's all frustrating and people are not paying attention. I should get back to the weight loss article and just call it good. Speaking of articles and it's frustrating and no one's paying attention, there was it a New York Times op-ed? I think it was just titled Look Up. Where is that? Yep, Look Up. Published over the weekend. Look Up. Put down your phone and take in the wonders around you. Richard F. Shepard, as keen and joyful a chronicler of New York as ever graced the pages of the Times, had simple advice for anyone out and about on the streets. Look up, he said. Look especially at second floor windows above storefronts. And we just, again, it's just iteration after iteration. It's, you know, to me, again, it reminds me of Romans chapter 1 and Jean Baudrillard's Simulacra and Simulation. Anyway, speaking of the Hallmark nonsense, I mean, when you start thinking about it, if you watch, just watch and think about Amanda Marcotte's article, you know, Hallmark, how did she put it? Hallmark movies are fascist propaganda. So there was one I happened to catch over the weekend. Christmas on My Mind, 2019. This is one of the new ones. Storyline includes a charitable cause. It's mentioned at the end. You know, how about we open an art wing? And there isn't, it's not, you know, you can just tell. It's whatever. It's inclusive. It's a charitable cause that's inclusive. And the cast includes Alvin Sanders, not just as a guy, you know, people like the Amanda Marcotte write these articles and the Jeb Lunds talking about how, you know, they'll say, you know, there are the token black characters. Actually, if you watch, it's interesting. Alvin Sanders is cast as a wealthy donor Alex Miles. He's probably the wealthiest guy in the plot or in the storyline. Jackie Harry, some people remember her from, you know, 80s, 90s television. Jackie Harry as Dr. Caroline Albright. Madeline Kelders is a, you know, the kind of character maybe that you could construe as a sort of supporting character or the token, you know, person of different complexion or ethnicity or whatever, but not really. I mean, you notice in the crowds and things, the supporting cast is usually somewhat diverse. Anyway, that's just one example. Christmas on My Mind. Two of the, you know, two important characters are. And that's, you know, it's fairly common to see some kind of charitable cause or some kind of good philanthropic thing and a return to, well, again, morals and wholesome family, traditional values and those kinds of things. And it's a sort of a wake-up call in the wake of, you know, the Alvin Toffler's Future Shocks and that kind of thing, telling us everything is fine even though it's not. There's another headline that I intend to get to. Speaking of that, that just clearly illustrates, you know, this, you know, we're supposed to embrace all of this wonderful technology that causes leaks like the WISE leak, exposing personal details of 2.4 million users, including email addresses and health data, blah, blah, blah. But what could go wrong? I think it was this Tech Explorer article that I'm thinking of, if I'm not mistaken. As robots take over warehousing, workers push to adapt. No, it's the Fox Business article. That's what it is. That was a companion article that I saw. Fox Business, I think this was it. Amazon employees struggle with nerve-wracking robot coworkers. Is that it? Let me see. I think so. This is the end of that article. That's an interesting article, and I'm bouncing around. A recent journalistic investigation of injury rates at Amazon warehouses from the Center for Investigative Reporting's Reveal found that robotic warehouses report more injuries than those without. The Reveal report found a correlation between robots and safety problems, such as in Tracy, California, where the serious injury rate nearly quadrupled in the 4 years after robots were introduced. So this reminds me of the part in Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget Manifesto that I can't put my finger on at the moment, where he talks about the difference between real and ideal technology, you know, the idealism, and then software gets big, and, you know, you get lock-in and those kinds of things. In other words, it's kind of like the old adage, you know, in theory and in practice. I mean, in theory, it sounds good. In practice, nah, it never quite works out. You know, we're sold the utopia. We're sold the utopian vision. And it just seems to always turn into, you know, the Skynet dystopia. Somehow, some way, it always goes bad. And Alvin Toffler in Future Shock was talking about these kinds of things. And, you know, Jeremy Rifkin wrote about the zero marginal cost society, and Alvin Toffler was telling us, get used to it because this is what's coming. You know, the, you know, all of that stuff, these guys have planned for a long, long time. And so, you know, hopefully I can put some of that together in today's broadcast. But I just thought of that, you know, Jaron Lanier's point about this ideal and real technology. Alvin Toffler talking about how this is what's going to happen, brace yourself. And now here we are, you know, Toffler 1970, Jaron Lanier 2010, You're Not a Gadget Manifesto, and then we get to now, and we're told, the bill of goods we're sold is that, you know, the future is bright. You have to, you know, brace yourself. In this article, for example, Amazon employees struggling with nerve-wracking robot coworkers. There is this quote, Amazon's Kiva purchase. Kiva Systems in 2012, Amazon $775 million purchase, set the tone for all other retailers to stand up and pay attention, said Jim Leifer, CEO of San Francisco startup Kindred AI, which makes an artificially intelligent robotic arm, grasps and sorts items for retailers such as The Gap. But you know of Kindred because of Jordy Rose. Anyway, stick around, we'll be right back.
I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Let me go back to this article quickly and just keep it light for a moment. It's good. This is a good thing, I think, and this is sort of mainstream stuff. So anyway, the weight loss article from the Express, weight loss, woman reveals two simple rules she used to drop 158 pounds, and really it's just one. You know, what's real is better. What's unprocessed is better. So, as the story goes, weight loss is a long and difficult journey for many. However, one Reddit user has revealed her, that's probably not supposed to be plural, revealed her simple weight loss, her impressive weight loss, excuse me, telling other slimmers, it's a marathon, not a sprint. She shared two basic rules that helped her almost half her size. What are they? Kitty Vaca is a baker who once starred on American reality TV show Sugar Rush, but hasn't let the sweet treats ruin her fitness journey. The 53-year-old managed to drop a whopping 158 pounds, going from 329 pounds to 171 pounds. She looks like she weighs less than that now. She explained, while there is no magic answer for losing weight, there are some simple things she stuck to in order to achieve results. Two rules, no refined sugar, no fried foods. Okay, that's simple. Instead, she opts for whole foods. Instead, And this, again, makes me wonder, are robots already writing articles? Why is instead repeated? Continuing, as well as paying close attention to her daily calorie intake. She explains, when you're consuming something to eat, or considering something to eat, are you looking at it as fuel, entertainment, soothing, or comfort? Food is a fuel source to run our bodies and nothing more. When considering what to eat, actually stop and look at it. Is it a whole food? Did it grow in nature? And to me, like I said, that's the one, I think the one rule. Did it grow in nature? Did it grow like that in nature? Not is there some, you know, component of it? There's a piece, I mean, there's a part of it that grew in nature. Come on. No. Did it grow like that in nature? Or did it come from a factory on an assembly line with lots of chemicals and additives to keep it fresh in a can or jar or box? Did this food even exist before mass manufacturing? No? Think twice. That's a quote from her from the article. The Slimmer adds, I lost my first 70 pounds following the first two rules, counting calories and walking. Following the first two rules, counting calories and walking. That's it. It got boring and my body got used to it. I've recently intermittently done keto. Did I see this as a long-term diet? No. But it worked for me where I was with my body type and gaining more muscle. I'm now back to phase one again, she says. However, a fitness app also helped her, and maybe we'll forgo that. She always wears her Fitbit. No, it doesn't say that, but it might as well. Anyway. After trying what seems like every diet on the planet, yes, I even ate that stupid cabbage soup. It came down to accountability and counting calories. My Fitness Pal, yikes, has been a huge tool in implementing this strategy, she explains. It's all about counting your calories and then making those calories count. While the weight loss enthusiast has had results using these diet tips, she warns others not to take her words biblically, quote unquote. Instead, she advises others to consider what works best for their bodies, emphasizing how different things work for different people. What? You mean we're not all just the same pasty, androgynous, hermaphroditic? Anyway, and that reminds me of, you know, getting back to the other stuff, not to, you know, get off topic, but if we're going to be one, you know, if we're going to fold all races and genders into one, you know, that sounds like La Raza, doesn't it? I digress. So many of those movements that are created to then, you know, conquer one another into one, there can be only one, the Highlander mindset. Anyway, if it's going to be one gender, why does it have to be so effeminate? Why not masculine? In a power-evolving universe, as James Allen puts it in As a Man Thinketh, wouldn't you think that that would be the gender that would win out? So it defies logic, kind of like evolution, you know, defies the second law of thermodynamics. It's just not, nah, doesn't make sense. Everything else is winding down, but somehow evolution, well, you know, it's not in the billions of years so much as the billions of dollars, I guess, that helps it along. Anyway, people wonder that. Why is it the effeminate gender? Is it perhaps because the masculine will protect, or is, you know, sort of, I don't know, maybe uniquely suited, hopefully, in some cases, to protect? Of course, if you read Judges and the story of Deborah, who knows? Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back.
.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, December 30th, 2019. Fabian Society member, Coefficient Club member, social engineer and architect Bertrand Russell was the mentor of Ludwig Wittgenstein. That's who I was trying to think of, Wittgenstein. So, you know, what's the quote? The, you know, I can't think of it now. See, that's what happens. Anyway, it was Wittgenstein that I was thinking of. that's irritating. Brain not wanting to cooperate. So, I was asked, I think I'll just try to address this stuff real quick because this has been on my mind also. I don't know, maybe I'll finish the Hallmark point. So I mentioned, I don't know, it just feels like you get dragged into something, you know, no man's land, basically, when you start trying to address these points. They're specious, though. I mean, come on. You watch Hallmark, I mean, what is the demographic that watches the Hallmark channel? It's the legions of fascist soccer moms, right? Who are trying to take over the world. I mean, come on. It's just so beyond absurd to think that, you know, people like Amanda Marcotte and Jeb Lund can write articles talking about how the Hallmark channel promotes fascism and fascist programming. I mean, the garbage that Amanda Marcotte writes and watches, I guess it's no surprise she says, you know, this is what I watch. It's no surprise she writes garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. It's just tragically unfortunate that, you know, again, as I said last week, the thing that is most tragic, I think, is these people don't realize that they are the fascist provocateurs themselves. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. I don't know, but I wish that she realized that. I mean, I don't want to belabor the matter. But every point that she made was specious. As far as I'm concerned, every point that Jeb Lund made was specious, and neither one of them is a particularly talented writer, in my opinion. Hallmark's Christmas movies are part of a culture war their viewers are losing. Lund writes. So, you know, there is a culture war. It's been going on for quite some time. And that's sort of, I guess, where we come back to, you know, on these other things. So I was asked by John in Tennessee recently, have I read Thomas Friedman's The World is Flat? Yes, I have. You know, technocratic tome, basically. It's not that kind of flat. It's, according to the Oracle Illusion entry, it analyzes globalization primarily in the early 21st century. The title is a metaphor for viewing the world as a level playing field in terms of commerce, wherein all competitors have an equal opportunity. That's sort of disingenuous. Again, you get back to Jeremy Rifkin's Zero Marginal Cost Society, the Internet of Things, the Collaborative Commons, and the Eclipse of Capitalism. And these guys, you know, they talk about things, but they're not honest. They are not honest. And so I want to sort of address that. Really, I want to just kind of hit this stuff head on. Again, speaking of the gaslighting, the dishonesty and the one-sided nature of these kinds of narratives. This deals largely with the subject of technocracy and creating an even larger and more hegemonic monopoly on things and, you know, resources, people, you know, things. Everything's going to be a thing, like Jeremy Rifkin points out, the Internet of Things. So speaking of Alvin Toffler's Future Shock, and I think I'll just read a few excerpts of this in today's broadcast, but in this context, from, and again, this is, you know, people talk about, speaking of things, ironically, Future Shock is titled Transience. Have you noticed, have you felt, have you been feeling over the years and decades that it feels like we're losing our moorings and traditions and things? Did you notice this year? I was telling folks, I mean, I mentioned it on the broadcast, but in personal conversations, I was asking and telling folks, you know, are you noticing that no one's saying anything? We heard for years, don't appropriate your Christmas on me, which was not really a real thing. That was something that came through the media. And I don't know, I guess learned helplessness kicked in and had its effect, and now people don't say anything. I think, I don't know exactly what happened, but this year I noticed it more than ever that nobody said anything. And people were noticing. I mean, there were very few, very few. I could count the number of instances on one hand and have probably several fingers left over where somebody said anything, let alone Merry Christmas, and meant it. I heard a couple of, in response to Merry Christmas, like if I said it, I heard a couple of, oh yeah, you too. That's very genuine. You know what? I'll just run myself through the self-checkout that you trained me on, your replacement over there. I'll just do that, you know, and they'll probably have the automated little thing, you know, they'll know me because of all of my transaction history, and it'll know Chris would prefer to hear Merry Christmas, you know. So say that directly at him. Make sure the next customer checking themselves out and self-checkout doesn't hear that, because that customer finds it offensive. But, you know, well, I'll just get the greeting and the, you know, the salutation of our choice. The selfish ledger will make it so. Anyway, part two is of Toffler's Future Shock is titled Transience. Chapter four, part two opens with chapter four, Things, the Throwaway Society. Again, this is 1970. And we've talked about planned obsolescence and those things. Totally a coincidence. The missing supermarket, the shift toward transience, is even manifest in architecture. Precisely that part of the physical environment that in the past contributed mostly heavily to man's sense of permanence. The child who trades in her Barbie doll cannot but also recognize the transience of buildings and other large structures that surround her. We raise RAZE landmarks, we tear down whole streets and cities, and put new ones up at a mind-numbing rate. Quote, the average age of dwellings has steadily declined, writes E.F. Carter of the Stanford Research Institute, SRI. Continuing. From being virtually infinite in the days of caves to approximately 100 years for houses built in United States colonial days to about 40 years at present. Again, this is 1970. And Michael Wood, an English writer, comments, the American, quote, made his world yesterday, and he knows exactly how fragile, how shifting it is. Buildings in New York literally disappear overnight, and the face of a city can change completely in a year. Certainly after September 11, 2001, I digress. Anyway, Alan Watt has talked a lot about these kinds of things and how infrastructure is eroding and why. And, you know, again, it goes back to those Rhodes Milner roundtable groups and perhaps preeminently the Anglo-American establishment Carol Quigley wrote about. Anyway, skipping ahead to get to the directly to the point at hand, you know, technocracy, the new international economic order, the flattening of all things, at least for you and I, because there is still a disparity, and I'll get to that in a second. And in simple terms, you know, you think of the robotics and things, the billions. I mean, I was reading, where is that? What was it? things that, was it 14? Yeah, 14 incredible tech products that didn't exist 10 years ago. This was a Business Insider article over the weekend. 14 incredible tech products that didn't exist 10 years ago. 10 years ago, when you think about the acceleration, the pace of things, talked about, well, Daniel chapter 12. People will be going to and fro and knowledge will increase. You know, when have we gone to and fro faster? You know, camels and horses, and then all of a sudden planes. Just 100 years ago. So, you know, you think about the innovations. Who was it? Was it Bacon? Who was it? Or was it Russell? I forget. Or Manly Hall, for that matter. You know, from gunpowder to the printing press. Who was it that, anyway, you know, on the steam engine, suddenly look where we are. So, you know, much has been written about the acceleration of things from Daniel chapter 12 to the Alice Bailey credited stuff, acceleration of things to Toffler, to, you know, many folks have written about this and how it does certain things. It has a profound and significant impact and momentum. It's not just a thing. These are not isolated things. So acceleration has an impact. So speaking of that and the broader significance, from chapter 2 of Toffler's Future Shock, the economics of impermanence. In the past, permanence was the ideal, whether engaged in handcrafting a pair of boots or constructing a cathedral, all man's creative and productive energies went toward maximizing the durability of the product. Man built to last. He had to. As long as the society around him was relatively unchanging, each object had clearly defined functions and economic logic dictated the policy of permanence. Even if they had to be repaired now and then, the boots that cost $50 and lasted 10 years were less expensive than those that cost $10 and lasted only a year. As the general rate of change in society accelerates, however, the economics of permanence are and must be replaced by the economics of transience. First, advancing technology tends to lower the cost of manufacture much more rapidly than the cost of repair work. And I feel like, just as an aside, that is, again, it's disingenuous. You look at this Business Insider article published 2 days ago, 14 incredible tech products that didn't exist 10 years ago. And you just see, I mean, as you look through it, $22 billion, $35 billion, just billions and billions and billions of dollars poured into these technological innovations. And we keep hearing that we're going to arrive at utopia. For those who study this stuff, know better. And, you know, we hear about the flatness. We hear about the zero marginal cost. But it just never seems to arrive. And where are these things paying off? Because before, you know, 10 years, I mean, when you think about that historically, I mean, I've talked in recent years about the investments and how there's been a shift from real tangible products and companies that market them to this technology stuff. And now these are the biggest companies in the world, companies that don't primarily have a product. It's mostly, you know, technology and mostly software. And how this acceleration is affecting life. And again, speaking of the transience, are we there yet? Part 2, Transience of Toffler's Future Shock, The Throwaway Society. But, you know, to imagine that it's somehow things are better, you know, again, we're really getting to the zero marginal cost. Every time that possibility might be approaching, there's another multi-billion dollar initiative invested in. And for those that labor under the myth that it's making things better, again, I refer back to the Fox Business piece, Amazon employees struggle with nerve-wracking robot coworkers. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
that last time.
Welcome back. I'm going to finish that point in a second. I think in the archives I'll call it Technocracy, Plan, Sales Pitch, and Reality. And, you know, it includes maybe I'll call it Technocracy and Cybernetic Totalism, because that's kind of it's kind of all of that. But the entries in today's discussion are mainly technocratic. So Jeremy Rifkin, Thomas Friedman's The World is Flat, Jaron Lanier, Alvin Toffler, I'll get back to those two in a moment. And those articles that I mentioned, the Amazon employees struggle with nerve-wracking robot coworkers, the Fox Business article, and the Business Insider article, tech products that didn't exist 10 years ago. And so the point is, we're sold this bill of goods, and you hear one thing, but what you see is, well, something entirely different. You know, I mean, you could make the argument that somewhere in what's happening, somewhere in a remote sort of corner, just a little, you know, isolated corner of what's happening in the bigger picture, sure, you might be able to make the argument. But I think you'll see when I read this excerpt, the full excerpt from Toffler's Future Shock, juxtaposed particularly with Jaron Lanier. You know, when John in Tennessee asked me about Friedman's, you know, old school bad guy mouthpiece, Thomas Friedman, the world is flat, I thought, I always think of, I don't know, all of this stuff sort of swirls in my head. Jeremy Rifkin's Zero Marginal Cost Society, Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, a Manifesto. Part three is titled The Unbearable Thinness of Flatness. And that's where I'm headed after the Toffler quote. But these are things that I think we all should understand. And then hopefully, you know, again, speaking of Bernays, the knowledge will shape our and guide our and perhaps direct our behavior and actions. Who knows? I don't want to manipulate or propagandize, but to inform so that people feel better aware and hopefully are able to decide for themselves, to choose for themselves, I think is a good idea. I don't know. Even though bad guys would rather tell us all that we're too stupid to know anything and decide for ourselves, therefore they have to be the guiding hand. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.